seated. God's word for our hearing this morning, God's word for us to reflect on, to be nourished by, to be strengthened by, is the Old Testament from the last chapter of Daniel, 12th chapter. I want you to listen to these words again. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people, and there will be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, every one whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. I want you to think about light. I want you to think about how we need light and how we are desperate for light. All we have to do is wait a few hours and it's going to be very dark and dreary, just as November can be. And it's dark when we get up, it's dark when we go to bed, or even have supper, it's dark. So we need light. We need it desperately. But not as desperately as one man. Before he became president of Ecuador, President Borja was in a cell because he was arrested by the military. He was thrown into a room with no windows and one steel door, but no window in the door. Complete, utter darkness. He said that for 3 days he was ready to go mad because he didn't know daylight. He didn't know day from evening, evening from day. Everything was dark. Until one day, the door creaked open. And somebody crept into the room. Of course, he couldn't see anybody. And tinkered in the corner. Then when he was done, he crept back out and he heard the door shut rather noisily. About 10 minutes later, that little bulb in the corner that man was working on suddenly lit up the room. He said, I could endure the days because of that light. I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about what brings darkness into your life, into your life. Darkness that troubles us. And you know, Jesus was talking to his disciples in the Gospel of Mark about the end times that are going to be upon you. And we seem to point them out all the time when we hear wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and hurricanes and all that devastation and nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. But did you hear the last few words of Jesus? The end will not come until the gospel has been proclaimed to every individual, to every person. We're far from it now. We're far from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people everywhere. And you see, that's what needs to be done. So God speaks the gospel to us, the gospel to forgive our sins, the gospel to help us understand that we are sinful people, that we have envy and we have greed. Just a week ago Friday, I had no oils just this last week. Boy, time just goes so fast. I had my guy that does all my finances at the house. And because, you know, you have to do the RMD from your retirement fund the year after you turn 73. So in October, I turned 73 and I'm starting to, okay, where's our money gonna come from? Where I gotta pay bills. I got all these bills, and Karen just says, you know, the Lord's gonna provide. And the Lord has provided over the years. And so we have to take this money out. And it's gonna shrink. And it's gonna shrink. And it's gonna shrink. But guess what? The Lord's grace is going to evermore increase and increase and increase. His grace is always there. And that grace forgives sins. The sin of greed. Okay. I gotta have all that money. You know, it's pretty nice. Maybe I can afford something. No. But that's where our thinking goes. That thinking needs the light of Jesus Christ. The thinking that we live with each and every day needs the light of Jesus Christ. The light to shine into a dark room, a dark life. The life that I live. A sinful creature that I am. I sin against God. I sin against my wife. I sin against my kids. I sin against you. A pastor wants to have a church filled with all people. But yet, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. We seem to forget that sometimes. We seem to forget that God works in mysterious ways. We seem to forget that God guides us here. We seem to forget that we've got an instrument back there that is sometimes not even used because we've got the organ. But when the organ starts to fail, we got an extra back there. When we start to fail, when we continue to sin, we've got a mighty God who forgives us our sins, who in Jesus Christ forgives each and every one of our sins. As we come up to the altar rail this morning, Jesus is giving you his body that was shed, that was given for you on the cross, the blood that was shed for you on the cross, the body and blood of Christ is what forgives you your sins. The sins that could be many, or the sins that could be few. I sin because I'm a human being. I sin because Adam and Eve. That sin has gone all the way down the years to us. And so, but God in his mighty mercy and grace shows us his life and forgives each and every one of our sins. That we are given life because of Jesus. And that is what God works through. He works through us, each and every one of us, to do mighty works. Karen's in North Carolina. They drove down on Friday, and she's going to be home this next Friday. But in the meantime, they're going to be working. They're going to be maybe mucking out a home, maybe taking plywood off the walls. Maybe they're going to be doing other things. I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but they're going to be there helping. When the gentleman that picked up Karen on Friday morning from Rochester, he opened up his back end of his car and he was trying to fit Karen's suitcase in there and other things that she had, and it was packed full of black bags, and I'm thinking that those bags had quilts in them or other clothes. But they were being taken down to North Carolina to be shared with people. God was working through this team. It's called LERT. L-E-R-T. It's Missouri City. True and bold. But it's Lutheran Early Response Team. They're not early, but they're off. Okay? They're there. And they help. And do whatever they can do. The pastor that's gone with them, he does the same things the rest of the team does, but he may be called to sit with someone, to console and grieve. You know, I can't imagine what these people are going through, but I can imagine what this LERT team is doing. It's shining the light of Jesus Christ in the life and in the homes of people that have suffered so much because of the hurricane. A couple years ago, Karen went in November. 2 years ago, she went to Fort Myers, did the same thing. So that following winter, we were in Tampa. And so Karen wanted to go down to Fort Myers to see what has been done since she left. And as we drove through Fort Myers, she says, it doesn't look like they've done anything. But in reality, they did a lot. It's just amazing what Christ can do through people, through you. Christ uses you in this place, in Mount Moriah, in Byron, with all his light to shine through to people's lives and bring them the life and forgiveness that Christ only brings to us. You see, we're God's children, and we're redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're here to shine like stars. Even though we're rumpled, even though we feel our age, we are shining like stars. The many stars that are in the universe, we are shining like those stars. You go outside on a dark night and you can look up on a clear night and see all the stars. We're shining just like those stars. And Daniel is saying, shine like the stars. Shine in your community. Shine in your life. In a few weeks, well, actually, it's not going to be a few weeks, we're going to have Thanksgiving. And in Lake City, we have a Thanksgiving community dinner. And this is shared with the entire community. Anybody can come, rich, poor, anybody. It's a community dinner. We've got the churches lined up to provide rolls, milk, all that good stuff, and of course, pies. Pumpkin pies, pumpkin desserts, and the apple and cherry and all of that. Then there's us on the line. And I've been trying to get out of doing it because Bethany does have a pastor. But they tell me that I'm in this for life. I'm the first one there with the turkey. But you know something? What else is just beautiful is people are helping people, and we're shining the light of Jesus Christ. We're shining his light into the lives of others. Other people that might not have a place to go, but also families that want to gather together without the wife or mother doing all the work. They come, they sit, they talk, they communicate, and they share. They share his love, Christ's love, with those around them. We have a family, Connie, an amazing woman. Her husband, Dick, was summoned by the Lord a few weeks ago. Connie and her family are going to be there for Thanksgiving. They're going to work because they said it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without coming to Bethany and working at the community there. This is shining His light into the lives of other people. This is what God wants us to do. God wants us to shine His light into the lives of other people. This world is coming apart. This world is tearing apart. We've got nations that are warring. We've got people that hate each other. We've got things going on all over us. And yet, we've got the greatest news. The greatest news to share with others. Christ crucified and risen is living in our hearts and in our lives. He's the one that gives us the power and the strength through the Holy Spirit to be His lights that shine in a dark world, in vibrant and surrounding communities. God uses us. He uses you to shine His light. In Christ's holy name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.